Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello. I don't know why I went for that.
Sorry, I need to match your energy. Do it again.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Great. Friends of friends, Pete, Dave. Let's do this shit.
Yeah. What's happening today? You're mad.
I'm a little bit tired, but I'm all good. I'm in a good mood. I'm in a good place.
A good place. Birmingham, that being Birmingham.
Do you know what I witnessed this morning?
No.
I went to work at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
And I live very near work, so it's a very short little commute. And as I was walking in, I heard someone shouting. And I would describe the man as looking a little worse for wear.
Right.
And what he did, there was this guy in like his 20s to 30s, I'd say, with what I presume was his grandmother, walking towards this man who was a little worse for wear.
Right.
And while I was watching, just being like, what is going on here? The man just attempted to, it's not funny, kick the stranger in the crotch. But because what? He was so worse for wear, it was the silliest little swing kick imaginable, and the guy just swerved it.
That's mad.
I witnessed a drunk man try and kick a stranger at 5 a.m. That's what I'm trying to say.
But in the balls?
Yeah.
Wow. What a strange start to your day, Pete.
Yeah, it was a strange start, yeah.
I think I was just getting home at 5 a.m, so...
Yeah.
I don't think it was me. Luckily, we're in different cities, but, you know, it's the timing's... Potentially works out, doesn't it?
So yeah, that's how my day started.
Oh, well, lovely. My day started much later than that once I'd been to sleep, but there you go.
Have you ever been so drunk that you thought it would be a good idea to kick a stranger in the balls?
I can confidently say not a once.
No, me neither.
No. Hey, Pete, I'd like to do a shout-out.
Go on.
We don't really do shout-outs, do we?
No.
Should we make a new rule? Here's a new rule based on this shout-out, okay? And this shout-out is to Rosina, okay?
Yeah,
and I was out of work on Friday night in the piano bar where I play, and I'd finished playing, and I was just having a nice little drink, and someone came up to a hen party came in, and one of the bridesmaids came over from the other side of the room.
And kicked you in the balls?
And kicked me in the balls. And so I'd like to give her a shout out for kicking me in the balls. No, she said, are you Dave Cripp? And I said, yeah. And like I wasn't as confused as I would have been in like the middle of the public, you know, because I was in the piano bar where I play. So that occasionally does happen, but only for piano bar related reasons. And then she said, I listen to Friends with Friends religiously every week.
And it's like nice.
Part of my routine. I get up, I put it on in the car, or if I'm carpooling with my friend, which I sometimes do, I listen to it as soon as I get back home from work. We had a lovely chat. So
why didn't she make a friend listen to it in the car?
Oh, that's a good question, actually. I was just thrilled that people listen, Pete, so it's nice.
Are you just telling that story because it's basically a humble brag that someone recognised you?
I mean, obviously that was really nice, like really, you know. Yeah, exactly. It did make me look, and Rosina will be listening now, so this is going to cut out all of the coolness, but it did make me look very cool in front of my friends over there when I went back over, and they were like, who is that? And I got to say, well, guys, let me tell you.
I've told you about the one time in my life that someone's recognised me, haven't
I? Yes, what, and they asked you for, go on, remind me, you have told me.
So I was in a gay bar in Clapham, and someone came over and was like, are you Pete off the radio? And I was like, yes. And he was like, I don't know who you are. But my mate follows you on Instagram. I was like, fucking brilliant.
Really underwhelming, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really underwhelming. I am actually, just before we finish this, because this is a very self-indulgent section of the podcast. But
you started it.
I know. I appreciate that. I'm about
are
to
you
now.
Are you saying that two men on a podcast may be being self-indulgent? Goodness me. What a thought.
I actually met someone this week and one of my friends was saying to him, like, oh, Dave does a podcast. And they looked genuinely, for the first time in about 8 years, they sort of said, oh my God, you've got a podcast. And I was like, of course, I'm a white man in my 30s. Of course I've got a podcast. But he was like the first person for a long time that had genuinely been like, you know, nicely impressed at the idea of someone having a podcast and yeah. not just like, God, another fucking one, eh?
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh yeah, the only other time that something like that has ever happened to me is one of my very good friends now, Elizabeth, when I first met her, came up to me in a bar and she was like, how do I know you? Like, yeah, it was a lot of that. Like, I really recognize you. And I had to do all that sort of like, oh, I don't really know. Did we go to the same school? You know, whatever. And I don't think I was like, oh, maybe you listen to my podcast, because that would have been awful. But at that point I was like, oh, maybe she knows me from the podcast or something. Anyway, she came up to me 2 hours later and went, I've got it. You popped up on my Bumble earlier this week and I swiped left. I was like, and that has put me in my place.
Yeah, great.
Anyway, so shout out to Rosina. And if this is the new rule, P, that I was going to instigate, the only way to get a shout out is to come up to us in real life. That earns you a shout out. Does that sound good? Not like followers around.
No.
Not that anyone would want to do that.
I think if it's like the first time in 8 years that someone's approached you because they've listened to you on this podcast.
That's what I mean. It's a nice rarity, right?
Yeah. So when it happens again in 2031.
Perfect.
Yeah, great.
Cannot wait. It doesn't count if you do it at the quiz.
Yeah.
Fine. I don't think, because that's fundamentally us advertising where we're going to be, you know? Or like at a live show. I think it has to be in the wild.
Okay.
Anyway, enough of this bullshit. Should we talk about friends?
Yes.
Let's read out this week's request, Peter, and it is from Ronnie, that's a name I always hear said in the style of Joey's dad's mistress, Ronnie.
Okay, yeah?
I imagine it's not that Ronnie messaging, mainly because she's fictional. I may be dead by now, who knows? Anyway, hi P and Dave, big fan and I'm proud to have listened since the very beginning. That is very kind. I would like to request the one on the last night. It showcases both the girls and boys' relationships and is great at representing how strong roommate relationships can be. I've lived with really good friends and both times moving out really did feel like it was the end of an era. Plus, I recently moved in with my boyfriend and Monica's, and now I have to live with a boy. It's absolutely spot on. And it's such a sweet episode for Chandler and Joey. In the DVD version, they do a cool guy handshake, which, fun fact, was something Matthew Perry and Matt LeBlanc did backstage, and they allowed them finally to do it on camera.
That's
a good bit of trivia. Guys, this is a Class A request, because it's provided some sort of trivia without us having to do any research at all. That's great, isn't it? It's basically doing our job for us. Hope you enjoy, exclamation mark. Signed, Ronnie.
Fine.
Oh, yes, that's very clear. That's very worth clearing up the punctuation there, isn't it? Would you like a synopsis, Peter?
Go on.
Season 6, episode 6. I think you might like this. 225556.
Nice.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
The one before, obviously, would have been better. 225555. But I'm quite happy with that. On the night before Chandler moves in with Monica, Chandler tries to give Joey money to make sure he's got enough for his expenses. When Joey refuses, Chandler invents a game called Cups and pretends to lose the money to Joey, only for Joey to later lose it all to Ross in the same game. Discovering Rachel hasn't packed, Monica and Phoebe offer to help. It's not strictly true, but let's carry on. When the two girls get emotional, Phoebe suggests they think of things they will not miss about each other, leaving to a huge argument and Rachel refusing to leave. Directed by Pete.
Lembeck.
No.
Oh. Bonus.
No. I don't think you actually get it because it's not one we've regularly had. First episode directed by
David Schwimmer.
David Schwimmer.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, there you go. First of his 10 episodes. And actually one of the only ones, I thought this when I was typing out my notes. I always start my notes by typing the title, which is usually TOW, the one with. And this one isn't, is it?
It's the one on.
This is a two the one on the last night. There's very few. I could have gone through and counted them, but I didn't. But there's very few that aren't TOW, right?
Yes, I have noticed this when compiling the spreadsheet.
Exactly. And this is one of them. There you go. That's all I'd like to say. Boys or girls first? So it's basically two halves, right?
Boys.
Boys. Boys, boys, boys. So we start with Joey. Actually, I was going to say Joey going through the bills, but we don't. We start with Joey doing something very relatable for me, which is just like balance. You know, he's balancing that hockey stick on his hand.
Yeah.
I just like, not, I don't have a hockey stick, but that sort of thing I find very relatable, where like Chandler walks in and Joey's embarrassed. And I don't know what it is I do, but you must do things like that, right? Where you're just like, you catch yourself in a moment, go, God, if anyone walked in and you're just like chucking a lemon or something up and down, you know, just something weird that you've started to do. I just found that very relatable, frankly.
Do you know a little game that I now have with myself?
Chucking a lemon?
Chicken and lemon.
Chucking a lemon.
Chucking a lemon. Yeah. I decided, like, give me a recipe. They're like, when I get to the front door of my flat, yeah, I try and put the key in the door from a distance, get it in like in one go.
Right.
Like not hit the edge of the lock, just straight in.
Yeah.
Sometimes I manage it, but I'm on a bad run.
Landing the plane. You're on a bad run at the moment, are you?
Yeah, I am actually.
How many? How many misses?
I think I did it about 3 days ago. And no one sees it.
No
one witnesses it. But if I manage it, Dave, I'm happy with myself.
If you go home with somebody, or like you're taking someone to your flat, like a guest, and do you do it then, or do you disguise it?
Oh, no, still do. My boyfriend's aware of the game that I play.
What does he think of it?
Well, he was with me when I missed for a couple of days, and he was like, bad one.
Fine.
So he's now like invested. Yeah.
And do you let it affect your mood for the rest of the day?
I think that would be a bit over the top, Dave.
Agreed, but I was just asking, just in case your boyfriend's really impacted by the game, because he might have discovered the game because you were in a foul mood one night.
No, we let it slide, but it's just one of those nice little things when they manage it.
Lovely. See?
Give it a go with your key sometime.
Like Joey balancing his hockey stick on his palm.
Yeah. He's got to go straight in.
What's really like highlighted by this opening scene is how long Chandler has basically seemingly just been paying for everything for Joey.
Yeah, very expensive.
Like 6+ years. It's mad expensive because they live in Manhattan, right?
And very relevant in a cost of living crisis that Joey's so keen to save energy.
Oh, that electricity run that Joey does is...
Well, that's just standard now, isn't it?
That's a daily occurrence, right? You get up and you see if there's a light on. Fuck, you walk across, bang, switch it straight off. In fact, why am I doing this podcast in the light, Pete? Wait.
You're doing it under cover of darkness now.
There we go. Crikey, okay, that's a quid saved, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I hope you realise he did it in the exact same style that Joey did it then.
Yeah,
I know no one can see, but I hope that was clear. $1,500, right? Let me talk you through the $1,500. What I would suggest, two things. One, Chandler's like to keep him covered for a few months. Like, not living in that apartment, surely. The rent wouldn't even cover that, right? That wouldn't even cover the rent for a month.
$1,500?
Yeah.
So that would have been...
For a two-bedroom apartment in Greenwich Village.
Oh, yeah, for a two-bedroom. Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Like...
Because I was going to say, but like 20 years ago, but even so.
Maybe just. I don't know. I can't be asked doing the...
Over 20 years ago.
Inflation maths. But certainly not a few months for rent and bills, right?
Well, we've talked before about how the metric for this these days, or at least in the UK, is a Freddo.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. How much is a Freddo these days? It's about 50p, isn't it, no?
Is it? No. A Freddo is not... Explain what a Freddo is.
Freddo's a tiny bit of Dairy Milk chocolate. Is it Dairy Milk, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to tell you how much it is, and you have to guess the actual price. So in our day, it was how much, Pete?
10p?
10p. 10p. That was your standard. You had 10p. You'd walk past the newsagent on the way home. You might be like, I'm going to get a bloody Freddo. Okay, Sainsbury's, how much is a Freddo today?
30.
Right, well, this is interesting because I've got 25p on the Sainsbury's website. But I don't know if that is a online price only, because the average price of a Freddo in 2022 is 30p, apparently.
Okay.
That was an article in the Daily Record That's what, oh, they've fucked that. They've drawn me in with a headline there, Pete. I've been absolutely clickbaited because the headline here is Freddo bar price jumps to nearly 50p. 30p yeah. is not nearly 50 when it started at 10, is it?
And just to be clear to people not in the UK, I think there is actually, I remember there being something called like the Freddo index, where so I think it's a social media thing where people track the price of the Freddo. It's like on graphs and stuff.
Yeah, compared to sort of the average wage and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of, like, it's a, quite a serious part of the conversation about recent like doctors' pay and all that sort of, you know, everyone that's been striking.
Freddo's the original chocolate frog, isn't it? Off of Harry Potter.
Yeah. Yes, a little chocolate frog, Freddo, isn't he?
Yeah, Harry Potter didn't invent the chocolate frog. Freddo got there a long time before.
Yeah. God, you forget. Good. Where'd she get her ideas from, eh? Let's not get into that, shall we?
No. I cannot be asked.
Moving on with a little healthy sting. Yeah, anyway, $1,500 I don't think would cover Joe for that long. But also, $1,500 is a lot of money just to be able to sign over to your friend just because you feel a bit bad for him when you're moving out, isn't it? Like, Chandler is obviously balling. Like, I would not... You wouldn't catch me giving 1,500 quid to anyone, frankly.
No, that's true.
Like, not on a whim. Like, if they were really, like, needed it, you know. But I wouldn't just be like, oh, yeah, something's, you know, at $1,500, just like I was getting a tenner out of my wallet, you know?
I feel like there are a lot of Friends episodes involving people moving. Like, I appreciate that that is very much the central plot of this one. But, God, they move a lot.
There's a lot of moving, isn't there? There's a lot of, even between the two main apartments and then around and about, everywhere, I know. They love a move. They must be keeping some sort of removals company. Well, they don't seem to have a lot of stuff. That's the interesting thing, isn't it? Every time they move, there seems to be like 9 boxes and that's it. I was like, you can't fit a tiny bit of your stuff into a few boxes.
There's a lot of shit in Monica's flat, though.
A lot of shit.
For someone who likes tidiness, she's a hoarder. She's got a lot of shit.
She does, right. Absolutely. Why does Ross need to make a fake Ben?
Yeah, and also intentionally... calls Monica to draw attention to his pumpkin Ben.
I think at that stage, he's probably spent a lot of time doing his pumpkin Ben, so that kind of makes a bit more sense. But in the first place, why wouldn't you just close the curtains?
Yeah.
The drapes. Exactly. Why wouldn't you close the drapes? Especially because it's nighttime. Close the fucking drapes, mate. That'd be weird. Don't make a pumpkin child.
Yeah. I don't. And also, unnecessary to carve the face in the pumpkin.
Right, I mean, yeah, certainly. Like... And Ben's rarely wearing a hat, I wouldn't have thought, apart from for plotline-related reasons, for example, when they bang his head.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, certainly don't need to carve a face in the pumpkin. Hopefully the face was already carved in the pumpkin?
Okay.
I mean, what time of year is this supposed to be, Pete? Shall I tell you when it went out? Oh, it did go out in October. Okay, pumpkins would have been...
seasonal.
Readily available seasonally, yeah. And that's good. That's good that they've been consistent there. Yeah, I was like, where's Ross got a fucking pumpkin from? Because if I try to go and find a pumpkin right now... Although a pumpkin, that's a big old head, isn't it?
It's a very wide head.
Wide head for a child, yeah?
Yeah. Well, wide head for anyone, I'd say.
Yeah, proportionally, yeah.
If anyone had a pumpkin-shaped head, you know, school would have been tough for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what I've never understood? And quite often when this happens, I'll watch an episode back that I've not watched since I was like 16 and go, oh, I didn't get that joke then. Often if it's about sex or maybe something political. You know, something that you've learned to know in your later years. Sure. This one, still don't get. And I don't know if the joke is just that Joey's stupid, but what is that whole you bring the food of your ancestors and I'll bring the food of mine thing about?
Yeah, I think he's just he's trying to make it like a slightly more sentimental, prestigious final meal, isn't it? But it's a weird joke.
It just doesn't make any sense. Like, beyond, if the joke is Joey's thick, then are we supposed to believe that Joey's thick enough to think Chandler's a Chinese man?
Yeah, seems to genuinely think that Chandler is Chinese.
Which is weird, right? And I Chandler, the only reason I think that can only be the joke is because Chandler refers back to it later when he goes, Italy versus China, apparently. It's like,
yeah,
what's happened there? I honestly don't understand what that joke is.
And also, on a different note, later in this episode, I'm impressed that Joey remembers the rules of Cup sufficiently enough to play it again without Chandler.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, isn't it? Like, he's only played it once and the rules don't exist. So it's impressive if he's just maintained every single move that's been made in Cups and be able to recreate it, right?
I do love Cups.
I love Cups. I've written literally down I love Cups in my notes.
It's just so Cups silly are, and yeah, great.
It's one of the greatest things they've ever done, I think, friends, Cups. I occasionally sneak a question about Cups into like any quizzes we do.
Yeah, nice.
Like the pub quiz, because people that get that, you know, what's 4 and a 9? A full cup, Pete. Like, yeah. Anyone that gets that, I'm like, you deserve to fucking win this point. Yeah. And anyone that doesn't get it, are the sort of people that are like, this quiz is harder than I thought it would be. I was like, yes, that's because people that listen to our podcast know a lot of our friends. So we
have you awarded a sitting down bonus?
No, but maybe I will. There's the next, there's the quiz on May the 17th, guys. Oh, it's sold out. Sorry. No point in advertising it. Oh. Sure. I have a question about some of the other cups, though.
Okay.
Is a D cup referring to boobs?
A bra?
Boobs. is it a boobs joke?
Yeah, I suppose it is. I suppose it is a bra joke, isn't it?
A D cup. It's just weird, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
Cups is... just doesn't seem like a very booby game to me, Cups.
No, but they've managed to make it booby, haven't they?
Yeah, you know, if in doubt.
Boob it out.
Boob it out.
If in doubt, boob out would also be good.
Boob out. Oh, yeah. That's a very straight thing for you to say. I mean, that's like the catchphrase of a lad, isn't it?
Not really.
If in doubt, boobs out.
If in doubt, get them out.
Yeah. It's not very Pete Allison vibe, you know?
Sorry, I've conflicted my personal brand there, haven't I?
I just think, you know, if we dig a little deeper, Pete, maybe it's time you...
You'd have to dig pretty deep.
The maths of this episode is all askew, isn't it?
In what way?
So Chandler wants to give Joey $1,500.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And he does eventually give him $1,500, but he's already, Joey's already lost $500 at foosball.
Yeah, true.
Do you know what I mean? So at the end of foosball, Joey already now owes Chandler $500. So if Chandler has managed to give him $1,500, that's only $1,000 really, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
That's
good maths.
It's not important, is it? But if we don't pick apart those
details... None of this is important, Dave.
No, that's absolutely fair. And yeah, not only does Joey remember the rules to Cups, it's kind of mad he'd instigate a gambling game when he's so broke with Roth, right?
Yeah, bold move, and ultimately undone by it. But I do enjoy Chandler trying to sort of settle the score towards the end.
What, with Roth?
Yeah.
Yes, I like that. The strangest thing about that scene is, though, that it seems to be the next morning, because it's daylight, or the next day, and Chandler's gone over, and the decapitated pumpkin child is still there.
Maybe just left it there till it sort of rotted.
Yeah, overnight?
Yeah.
Just leave your sort of...
That would stink, wouldn't it?
Beheaded vegetable child.
Yeah, vegetable child.
It's just weird. I thought he'd have popped it away. He then does take it away while Chandler's there, but... yeah, kind of weird. Anyway, Chandler presumably wins all that money back, right?
Because he just starts
making up more Cups rules. But yeah, and to sort of tie this one off, I really enjoyed Joey's analysis of the night. This does tie back into Joey being a bit thick, doesn't it?
But beginner's luck, very important in Cups.
And then he goes, oh, you're trying to give me money again, like you did ages ago. And then we had a lovely night. Nobody tried to give anybody any money.
yeah, it's good.
I love the sort of childlike naivety of that. It's very sweet. And actually, do you know how you can tell David Schwimmer directed this episode, Pete?
Because he's not in it much.
He's fucking got nothing to do, has he? He sits on a sofa with a pumpkin for a minute. That's it.
That is true, yeah.
That's his whole contribution, really. Although I do like the way he delivers the line, yeah, it's a pumpkin, I'll come back. Like, that's just a normal everyday thing.
And his horrified reaction when he notices that the pumpkin's fallen off.
Yeah. He sort of tries to pretend that the head's under the jumper.
It's like, oh my God.
Oh my God, get your head out of your jumper, son. Yeah, and your really invisible neck.
Thank you.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
To the other half, to the women's plotline, Peter.
Yeah. Rachel's chaotic bedroom stresses me out, but she does actually stumble upon a great leaving present for Monica, like a genuinely enjoyable activity.
She spins that very well, right?
She does, yeah.
Luckily, Monica loves sort of cleaning and packing so much she can get away with that. I mean, I'll be honest, I relate to this Rachel hasn't packed right until the moment thing, you know? Are you an early packer?
I'm quite an organised. I would like to think that I'm quite an organised person. No, I am organised. I'll stand by that.
You are, I think, yeah. And I think you're prepared. And I think you're sort of, you have everything in hand, don't you, for this sort of thing?
I try to be.
I'm very last minute packing, even when moving house. I wish I had a moniker.
I have a friend who, in an airport when you're waiting to board the plane.
I do, yeah.
He says that he doesn't feel the need to go to the gate until they've specifically called his name.
His name?
Yeah. Which, just the mere thought of that, like how his other half copes with that, that stresses me out.
He calls his name. That's wild, isn't it? I think I could accept last call.
No, it's like he's just chilled. Even up until the point where his name's mentioned, he's chilled.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But so they'll do like the gates open, then they'll do like final call. Yeah, oh, no, they might do like 5-minute call, then a final call, right? And I think even a final call, we all know that there's still like 10 minutes and you're fine. But then after the final call, that's when everyone's on the plane and they're like, okay, passenger 4F isn't here.
Yeah.
Who's that?
That'd be him.
But then you've got to be the wanker that gets on the plane, to use the word wanker correctly, unlike friends, that gets on the plane. Like everyone knows you're the guy holding up the plane then, right?
And then they think, what a wank.
Yeah, what a wank. That'd be the part where I'm a wank. I don't like that at all, Peter. Do not like at all.
I would like to give some credit to Phoebe in this episode because she does that sort of brilliant Phoebe Lisa Kudrow thing of being the relief in the more aggy situations, even though I find the arguments really funny in this. Like, it's all so bratty and petulant and very funny, and Monica and Rachel really go for each other, but there's just a few Phoebe moments that are really good.
It is very mean, though, the things that they say, isn't it?
Like, really mean!
They like really flip on a sixpence and start saying quite horrible things about their best friend.
Yeah. My favourite, though, is when Monica talks about how Rachel lets her borrow the shoes.
Yeah.
And Rachel says, yeah, and you stretch them out with your big old clown feet.
Pete, it won't surprise you to know that I take that line very personally.
What size feet have you got? I think we've had this conversation.
14.
14?
Yeah.
Wow. You have to get your shoes flown in, don't you?
I've got big... yeah, like by a plane and the shoe is dangled beneath the plane because it won't fit in the plane.
Dave gets his shoes via blimp.
But I've got a big old clown feet. I can never borrow anyone's shoes, Pete. It's so sad. I do feel like it's a part of life that I really miss out on.
When anyone else puts your shoes on, they must look like a clown.
People do it all the time, though. If they're like at my house and it's like a shoes-off occasion, but someone wants to like go out for a smoke or, you know, anything like that, they'll always just be like, oh, just use your shoes. And then there's a whole palaver. Oh, my God, look how many feet I can get in your shoe and all that sort of stuff.
And you use your shoes for all sorts of things. You could go white water rafting in them.
Take my shoe to the bath and have a nice canoe. people are fascinated by the size of the shoe.
Well, rightly so.
I feel like I've never really been able to share shoes with anyone. So I need to make friends with...
I don't think that's a bad thing.
No?
Like, sharing shoes is not... A, not commonly done. And
do you not
B,
think? I think it's quite commonly done. Maybe more among women than men. But I think people, like, if you live with someone and you've got the same size shoes...
I wouldn't want to put someone else's shoes on.
Why?
Like, feet, innit?
Yeah, but not feet. You're not putting them on directly onto your feet, are you?
Yeah, it's like, you still get, like, foot stink.
You'd put a sock on, though. You wouldn't go commando in another man's fatigues, would you?
In another man's fatigues. Yeah. What decade is it?
That's a Friends quote.
Is it?
Yeah.
Where like, did like we see
commando
that?
In another man's fatigues.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the one where no one's ready, right?
Fatigues.
Yeah,
what does that even mean?
Like military uniform is fatigues, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. No? I'm prepared. No, I'm prepared to
I'm
accept
not
that.
I'm very military minded, but that's what I always thought. Yeah, look, yeah. A combat uniform, also called military fatigues.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, that makes more sense. Yeah. Good. I also, another Phoebe bit that I like.
Yeah.
Actually, can I just rattle through a few Phoebe bits that I like?
Yeah, please.
Her desperate attempt to get the boys out of doing any parenting.
I love that. That is such a pure Phoebe bit of selflessness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, great. I would be, I'm happy to admit, I would do the exact opposite in that situation.
Get more people involved.
Yeah, if I'd been trapped, like, by Monica that way, my brain would be like, okay, if I'm going down, at least, you know, I want everyone there to make it as fun as possible, you know? Yeah. In that specific situation. Not if it was like a life and death thing, you know, to try and save my friends, obviously. But in that sort of situation, I think I would probably err more towards like, sorry, lads, we've all got a pack.
Yeah, misery loves company.
Right, exactly.
And the other Phoebe bit that I love is when Monica says, she made fun of my phone pen. Yeah. And Phoebe goes, I know, I took it hard too.
the selflessness of her trying to save the guys and that sort of trying to comfort Monica, it's just, she really gets her friends. And I really like that about Phoebe. And that's quite consistent with Phoebe. And I love her very pathetic attempt to try and get out of packing. Oh, I have plans. You have plans with us. That's right.
Yeah, great.
I love that. The delivery of that makes me laugh every time I watch it. But to be fair, it's Phoebe's fault that the fucking arguments start, isn't it? She just doesn't like the sadness of it.
That's true. So she tries to make them, you know, pick apart each other's bad habits and things.
One of a few times when she gets caught in the middle of a Rachel Monica argument, isn't it?
But also, like, the conclusion she comes to in the end where she's like, oh, actually, I don't want to live with her. Like, it's a very sort of emotionally mature thing to be like, hang on, no, I don't want to be in this conflict. I don't want to end up like this. Nah.
Yeah, I tried to work out if that was just a very smart way of tricking them into being nice about each other again, or whether she genuinely meant it. Do you know what I mean? Either way.
Yeah, you might be right.
It's very well done. If she is just turning it around back on them, that's quite a clever way of doing it, right? You're going to have to tell each other nice things so that I don't kibosh this whole situation. Which Rachel's already tried to do by refusing to leave, which feels like a strange reaction to the situation, doesn't it?
And then when Phoebe's like, oh, I don't want Rachel to move in anymore, Rachel is briefly like, what?
Yeah.
And then she's like, fine, well, I'm not going to go anyway, so it's all good.
And I like the way that Phoebe has a moment of brief enthusiasm for Monica living with her.
Yeah.
Against all her counter experience, you know, like Phoebe's had very bad times living with Monica in the past.
Really caught up in it.
To the point where she secretly had to move out, you know, without telling Monica. So the idea she was, you know, the nice things that they're saying about each other are so nice, they've convinced Phoebe maybe she wants to live with Monica again, which is a whole palaverama. I like the scene in the kitchen where they're running around with the Rachel puts a few of Monica's things in a box and Monica's, I'm not moving. Well, why is all your stuff in this box? But I like the choreography. Come on, Dave, speak proper. You're a podcast speaker. Of them sort of hopping around the kitchen with Rachel holding that cardboard box. It's very well done, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And then she gives the key back, Pete.
Yeah, which is clearly unnecessary.
And inconsistent with the final episode of Friends, when she then gives the key back.
Yes, that's true. You know, yes, right at the end,
they all put their keys back, don't they? But there you go. I'm sure they would argue she got another key another time, but I call continuity bullshit. Because when's that ever happened in Friends, eh, Pete?
Correct.
But we do get a nice emotional goodbye by the end. That is nice. I think that sort of harks back to what Ronnie was saying earlier about you get that real end of an era, almost a breakup vibe, the two of them standing at the door. Even though, as Rachel points out, you know, we're basically going to the coffee shop in an hour.
But they do really lean into that kind of sentimentality at the end of this. Like, there is that bit where Monica's sort of looking in the room, seeing how empty it is. There's some slightly different music in the background where it's quite reflective.
Yeah,
and actually, if you think about it, this is quite a fundamental shift in the kind of basic premise of Friends for, you know, this is a big change going forward in that the characters aren't sort of set up in the same
100%.
Way.
I mean, is it arguable or is it absolutely the longest relationship? No, Chandler and Joey, I guess. But, you know, like in terms of kind of standing relationships, it's longer than any of the actual romantic relationships any of them have in Friends.
Yeah.
You know, Chandler and Monica maybe is just about the same length, but there's always, I mean, a relationship you have with a best friend, especially one you live with, is, yeah, often longer and more intense than a much shorter romantic one, isn't it?
I agree. Which takes us back very neatly to the request message that we had at the start.
Exactly. And there we go. A nice emotional goodbye. And Chandler ruins it by bringing the big white dog. But, you know, Chandler's good at ruining emotional moments. Now, Pete, no need for me to ask because we discussed it last week and I know for a fact there is a quiz. And that's why I did not acquire a quiz.
So, funny story.
Oh, is that?
I have...
Funny ha-ha.
Do you remember the other day when I had said that there will be a quiz?
Yeah.
And then there wasn't one. And then I looked at the spreadsheet and I realised that the spreadsheet had lied to me.
I've realised that
one column of the spreadsheet is slightly out of kilter with the rest of it. And this one column that is out of kilter is the bit where I note whether someone did a quiz or not. So next to this week's request, it did say yes, quiz, but it's all out of order and I have no idea what I was saying yes to. So long story short, no quiz, spreadsheet's fucked.
And therefore, let me ask you, is there any point in asking whether there's a quiz for next week?
Well, do you know what I can do? Yeah. Do you know what I can do? I can actually, because if there is a quiz, it will be in the emails.
Fine.
So what I need to now do is check the emails. And there is a quiz next week, and I am looking at the quiz.
Don't look at it too hard.
Oh, hang on. Am I looking at the quiz? Oh, no, it doesn't open.
What?
Ella from Auckland, New Zealand.
Crikey.
I can't open your quiz.
Well, when you wake up, I mean, you're not listening. This is recorded, to be fair. But when you listen, Ella, it's your request next week, which the episode is, Pete?
The one with the cheap wedding dress.
And if you could resend your quiz in a format that Pete's 1992 IBM computer can open, that would be very useful.
Well, it's saved as a G slide. What's a G slide?
Google Slides, mate. Send me the link. I can open that. I mean, you can as well if you can use the internet to a basic level, but we can certainly organise that. Yeah, Google slideshow thing, you know?
Right, well, I'll forward you it. This feels like admin we can probably do on the podcast.
A lot of our admin feels like it could be admin we could do off air. Do we ever do it off air? Do we? Absolutely fudge. All the best. Remind me what it was. Cheap wedding dresses.
The one with the cheap wedding dress.
All the best. Goodbye.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.